say we go dancing.
I'm in.
Let's go dancing.
Okay, but not somewhere I'm gonna feel worse about myself when no one's interested because I'm fat.
Maybe the universe is telling me that I should fuck that cute virgin and give him the great first time experience that I never had.
That's not karma, that's statutory rape.
You're such a Sex in the City
podcast.
I'm a lost cause. Go on without me. Save yourselves.
Shut up, you bitches! I called the cops!
Fuck my cop!
Yeah, keep talking. I'll come down there and cut it off for you.
Gay boyfriends are the loophole of monogamy.
I'm a 34-year-old nerd.
Everybody wants to be able to burp on command, right?
And fart on command.
I could almost do that. I don't want to, like, just, it's not a great, like, party trick. It's not like,
it's really not.
Hey, guys, gather around. Watch Daryl fart.
Yeah, but your comedy career would be made.
Oh, man.
You could do that. That's just punchline to every joke that doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. Like, instead of, like, saying, like, hamburger or, like, you know, that's my mama, it's like.
Exactly.
Every single time.
Yeah, exactly. It would have to be very large rooms you played.
Of course.
To.
And then I just have a microphone for my butt.
Yep.
Just for the butt.
Right. Or you switch back and forth. You have it next to your mouth, and then you put it next to your butt so they know it's coming. And they're like, oh, and they're like, boop. And then.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to then talk in the same microphone. That's just.
That could be part of the joke, though.
Unhygienic.
Yeah, it is. But this entire gimmick is unhygienic.
It is. Definitely for the middle states.
Right? But then that could be your thing, is you could bring the microphone back to your mouth and then be like, pee you, and wave your hand in front of your nose.
Or like, wow, I don't remember eating that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Daryl, I think we're talking too much about Sex in the City. Don't you?
Of course we are.
We always do.
And if you guys are wondering where the guest is, there is no guest this week.
Because guess what?
What?
Daryl Williams, you are such a Sex in the City podcast.
No, April, I think you're more so such a Sex in the City podcast.
Thank you. I take that as a wonderful compliment. This is the first solo episode we've done in a while.
Yeah, we try to probably, I don't say we try to do them, I think we're doing them because we obviously didn't get a guest this week.
We are bad at planning. Ugh.
But it is
comedy's hard.
Hey, the show must go on. Our millions and millions of listeners expect episodes no matter what.
We can't disappoint. We can't do it. We're perfectionists.
Right. So I think this is the third.
Just put it out, Daryl. Put it out.
Third solo episode. We did the first one, and then we did another one.
And then this is.
This was another. Yeah.
Numero tres.
Mm-hmm.
This is the lucky number three.
I think these ones are kind of special in the sense of, like, you know, we don't really have to, like, go over, like, what happened last time.
Yeah, people aren't forgetting the characters' names on these ones. Mm-hmm. There's no, the brunette. We're like,
what's that one?
Charlotte, yes.
Kinda has a baby.
Who was the dude who's bald? Mm-hmm. Just think of the most ironic name you could for that. It'll probably be his name. Oh, Harry? Yes,
yep.
Good. It's the rules of Sex in the City.
And if that's the case, okay, if Harry
yep.
is a bald guy, then
yep.
Mr. Big should be not
he should
well
have
endowed.
A tiny penis.
Yeah, he should. Mm-hmm. With by Sex in the City logic.
Also, by Sex in the City logic of he has the money, mm-hmm. he has the career, the
all
women
right.
love him, he has everything. So what's the one thing that he doesn't have? What's the deal breaker?
Right.
Tiny penis.
Micro penis, yeah.
Yeah.
Not just
sorry, Big Lots. It's not your day today.
And that's why Carrie loves it so much, is because she really wants to have sex with a vagina. And this is the closest thing to one. It's Mr. Big's penis.
I think she could have sex with women. Samantha has sex with women.
That's true.
I think just Carrie, just maybe that's just like her thing. Maybe that's, she has some weird sex stuff that they didn't put on. They're like, that's too weird. We can't put that on the screen.
I feel like she's definitely probably broken up with a dude or two because of his penis size. Whether
oh,
it be
for
too big,
sure.
too small, like, she's looking for...
We know for a fact that Samantha has.
Mm-hmm.
But Samantha
so
is...
All of them probably have.
Samantha is basically the sommelier of human genitals for this show. She, like, Oh my god, we already know she is for vibrators. She definitely is for genitals.
This pairs well with your vulva.
I'll have it with a nice rosé, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Don't eat this after Labor Day.
Quite unfashionable.
Mm-hmm. I feel like she would definitely probably have this, like, because she's read the Kama Sutra.
Oh, and for all sure. That, and all that the, weird like, handout that she got of 101 yeah. sex positions.
I think it was 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000. Because that makes sense.
Of course it does.
She's like, I'm on 992. I would
love to just ask somebody, like, name 10. You know, just, you don't even have to have, they don't have to have, like, proper names, you know, like reverse cowgirl or whatever. They could literally just be like, that one with you on top and she's kind of doing this, like, you know, I don't even think people could do 5.
Okay, let me try this because okay. I consider, I'm a woman of the world,
right.
Much like the ladies of Sex in the City.
You've been, so, you're well traveled.
Yes, yes. Okay, so I will say, top 10 sex positions. Missionary.
Obviously.
Avenging Crusader. That one's pretty good.
What's that?
It's like missionary, but much more violent.
Oh, okay. So, like, there's, like, a weapon involved or something like
there,
that?
There can be.
I always think that there's, like, crying. Is that, like, a move? Is that a position?
It sounds like it is for you, Daryl.
I go into missionary, then I go into crying.
And then we end with me saying, no, wait, where are you going? That one. That's your other favorite.
Well, her leaving, that's obviously a position for sure. Usually that's first.
That's the first one.
Right.
All the others are just alone.
And then I do missionary by myself.
And then you take a shower by yourself.
Yep. That's definitely a move.
As we know, it's your favorite thing to do.
Okay, so that's one position. I could think of maybe, yeah, 3 more, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of the gelatinous noodle.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, is that when, like, he loses his hard-on?
Yes. Standing tea kettle. That one.
That one's tough. You can only do that with a chair.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and a red-hot stove.
Yeah.
Just turned all the way up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's my finisher.
Yep. That's... That's your finisher for alone after she's left.
Yes.
Perfect. And
sounds like a nice meal.
Yeah, right? It does. Like, well, some, that's what we were saying, sommeliers.
Some noodles and some tea kettles, yeah.
Yeah. That's just the tip of the iceberg, though, which is another one of my favorites.
Yeah,
of course. One's great, tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, my grandfather did that once. He told me about it.
Like, really?
Hey, man, if you really want to get a man or a woman.
And he had the 3 other people there that it requires.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He's like, if you want to get a bunch of men and women together and you want to have a really good time, you just get the tip of the iceberg. And what you do is, and I was like, whoa, grandpa, where'd you get this accent? I didn't even know you were from this region. I thought you were from Orange County.
Well, I had a stroke a few years ago, and ever since then, I talk like this, and I think it's fine to talk to my grandson about sexual matters.
Right.
In an explicit way.
Grandfather.
So when my penis was erect.
Grandfather, did you learn this on Sex in the City?
What's that, son?
It's this TV show with these 4 gals who are making it. In the big city of New York.
That sounds like another position I was in once, called the Upside Down Frog.
Right? I thought it was just going to be called the Big Apple.
That's ridiculous. That doesn't exist. What are you talking crazy?
Right.
That was a great memory with your grandfather.
No, he taught me a lot. He definitely was one of those guys where...
It sounds like he taught you... things that probably you should have just learned from porn.
Yeah.
Like, your grandfather shouldn't be teaching you these things.
That's what a That would be,
just buy him a hooker. You know, don't describe in detail. Jesus.
That'd be a cool porn website. It's called Your Grandfather.
Things your grandfather taught you.
Right, right. Like, this ain't what your grandfather did.
Or maybe it is. And at the time, it was considered an atrocity of war. Anyhow, Daryl, I think we should do a little thing because we do have a format for these episodes.
For sure.
So I'm going to ask you, what's your familiarity with Sex and the City thus far? What do you know about it?
I feel like I'm pretty familiar with it.
You've seen the show before?
I've watched it very intently for the last 77 episodes.
And just through once? You've just seen it once?
Well,
or?
I've seen it, well, now probably at least 4 times.
That just sitting in the apartment with 2 cats.
Yep.
Shirtless, talking about how you've seen Sex in the City 4 times. Who could paint a more perfect picture?
I know. This is definitely the sign of the new modern man.
Right? Feminism.
Mm-hmm.
We should all be allowed to live our truest lives.
Exactly. If you could
And make fun of Daryl for living his truest life, because his truest life is dumb.
If you want to do whatever you want in this world, then men should be able to do whatever they want in this world, too.
Including watch Sex and the City all the way through 4 times and have a podcast about it.
Yeah, talk about it at very great lengths.
For hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. But I feel like... these women, though, like, every time you do watch this show, I will admit, you do get a different perspective. You do get a different lease on life. You do get, you know, a new set of goals that you want to achieve.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of like drinking a Fresca.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like just refreshing and mostly pretty light, but there's a bit of flavor there.
Exactly, like a White Claw. Like,
yeah.
Sex in the City.
It's not going to get you drunk, but it's going to put you in a good spot.
Right, right.
Exactly.
You're not going to be not sober after the podcast.
Okay, Daryl, do you want to ask me the other question that we go to before watching the episodes?
April, what are you expecting out of this episode? Like, what?
Lots of nudity. Lots of it. Constant nudity. That's what I'm hoping for.
I do feel like, though, like this season 6 hasn't had a lot of nudity yet.
That's true, that's true. But I'm just saying, do you... usually interrupt our guests when they're answering the opening questions, Daryl?
All the time.
That's true. We really got to work on our podcasting form.
Yeah. But, okay, what else are you expecting?
Lots of nudity. I'm digging the Charlotte and Harry arc right now.
Oh,
I'm having fun with that. I'm looking forward to getting some more of that because they're just like my favorite couple right now.
She did just become a Jew, right? Like officially, right? Like,
yes. In the last episode, she did her Jew baptism.
Yes.
I don't know what it's called.
I didn't know what
they take a bath. They dunk in water, so it's similar. But
why is it always the water submersion?
And they throw, you know, they throw matzah in the air like confetti, and they're like, "You're a Jew now." Oy vey. And they're like, "You can do that now, and it's not a hate crime." Because before you did it, and it was weird.
The last episode, she did do that, too, where she's like all super thrilled that she did her first oy.
Yeah, exactly. She's, you know, gefilte fishing for some praise. Oh, let's just move on from that one.
That's what they should call when somebody tries to become a Jew, is you're online. You know, like if you're pretending to be a Jew online. It's gefilte fishing. Somebody.
See, I think it should be if you're on, what's the Jewish dating website?
J-Date?
J-Date. If you're on J-Date and you're actually not Jewish, you're gefilte fishing.
Yep.
I want to watch that reality show where, like, it's just
you're
super,
not Jewish,
just a bunch of really Hasidic Jews, like, just going into restaurants and trying to meet women, and then they come in and they're like, "I love the pork chop." They're like, "Ah, I'm such a schmuck."
You didn't get your nose job for a septum dismemberment.
I don't know about this one.
I feel like you're not Jewish.
Sometimes it takes until the bedroom for the gentleman to be found out.
She's like, I knew it.
Right? Okay.
Okay.
Should we do a recap of the last episode and then just hop right in?
So a little bit about last episode, since we didn't obviously do a elevator pitch either, coincidentally enough.
Yep. We're professionals.
Yeah, we are.
Sex in the City professionals.
Yeah, obviously talked about Charlotte getting to become a Jew.
She became Jewish.
And then Miranda and Steve were getting a little upset because she found condoms in Steve's diaper bag.
Yep. And, yeah, she's real butthurt that he's fucking.
I like the little joke she would play, too, where she was all like, oh, I'm glad that my, 6-month-old is having, like, protective sex. That's nice.
Yeah, like, I don't think he's old enough, but boy, am I relieved he's using protection.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I like that.
That's snappy.
That's
Miranda bringing it to the table like usual.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, obviously, Samantha getting boned by the waiter.
Yep. Slash actor.
When they're at the purse party.
And then she sprayed a bunch of whipped cream all over him, and he acted like that was totally normal.
Yep.
Because she tried to make him into a prostitute.
Yeah,
real
she gave
casually.
Him money. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, here's $300. And he's like, I'm a waiter.
Yeah.
I still have the barest degree of self-respect.
Right. Like, obviously, I did understand, too, it was kind of your fault that you did fire, like, I got fired with you, but I knew the risks involved.
Exactly. And then,
nobody wants to have money being exchanged with sex. That's the one thing that we're like, this should be free.
He's the second accidental prostitute of this show, mm-hmm. because first it was Carrie, and now, so I like that they're bridging the gender divide,
yes.
you know, because yes. Samantha always has been, like, very much like, she's the man, you know, and so now she's making her boy toys into prostitutes. They're evening the playing field. We can all be sexual objects.
This was a big thing in the 90s where, like, you know, people were trying to say, like, in a lot of different film and TV shows where they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to change the genders. Like, you think it only happens to women? No, it happens to men, too.
Yeah.
Oh, you think men are only scum pigs? Nope, women are fucking pigs, too.
Yep, it's true.
Like that movie Disclosure with Demi Moore and Michael Douglas.
That's my favorite closure.
Yeah, Disclosure. Mm-hmm. You don't want reclosure either.
I also don't want DVD closure.
Nope. But yeah, it was basically he got sexually assaulted. And then she was like, what? No, it was me that got sexually assaulted. And then there was literally characters in the movie that were like, men can't get sexually assaulted. That's not a thing.
That's though, because that used to be a thing. It's like how it used to be like, you can't rape your wife.
Right.
She's your wife.
Exactly.
And therefore,
property.
Your property.
Yeah.
Like, how can I
just
get
like
in
you
trouble?
Can't rape your goat.
Yeah, exactly. How far society has come in such a short time. That's wonderful. Okay, we got to get into this episode because we are yammering too much.
Yep,
and
we are.
I'm rip roaring ready to go.
Let's do this.
All right, we'll be back after watching the episode to talk more into your ear holes and
nose holes. Yeah, we'll talk into
mouth
all your
hole.
Holes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be real graphic.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're back, guys.
What a great episode.
Hell yeah. It was another amazing Carrie Harry. No, Charlotte Harry.
Yes.
It would have been better if it was Carrie Harry.
Harry Carey.
Harry Carey.
Yeah, I want to see that couple. Harry and Carrie.
I've got to make it to the end of this ball game, guys. Give it up for love. And there's the two ball there.
Because it's not Steve.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyhow, damn, I loved that episode. I forgot how good that was. We have the Charlotte blowing up at Harry. Where do we want to start with this? Because there are a few good plot lines.
Well, I feel like the biggest one is clearly the Carrie Burger situation, where she dropped the L word and he dropped the scrunchy word.
Yeah. It kind of went the opposite way, because he's like, he meets the friends and coins the term, he's just not that into you.
Oh, yeah.
Which liberates Miranda. She's like, oh, thank God, I just know what it is.
And then a bunch of other people were like, I'm going to steal that phrase and make it into a cottage industry as well.
And a not very good movie.
So how did the date end?
He walked me home. I'm sorry, are you maxed out on girl talk?
No, I'm good. I'll let you know.
Okay. So he kissed me goodnight at the door. I invited him up. He couldn't because he had an early meeting. We kissed again, and he said he'd call.
Two kisses? Very promising.
You think, even though he didn't come up?
Definitely. It means he likes you, but he wants to take it slow. That's nice.
Burger, what do you think?
You really want to know?
Please, I would love to have a man's opinion for a change.
All right, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. He's just not that into you.
That's not true. Don't listen to him.
Oh, no, I'm intrigued. Elaborate.
Look, I'm sorry, but when a guy's really into you, he's coming upstairs, meeting or no meeting.
Oh, that is ludicrous. What about extenuating circumstances? What about you're stressed out, you're on deadline, you have a migraine?
Or a lot of guys are afraid of getting their feelings hurt and they don't want to ruin a friendship.
Or they're freaked out by their own feelings? There's a lot of push-pull out there, a lot of mixed messages.
Yeah, I'd have to say that's all code for he's just not that into you. I'm sorry, but with guys, it's very simple. If we're into you, we're coming upstairs. We're booking the next date. There are no mixed messages.
No mixed messages, but
I've spent my whole life deciphering mixed messages.
I've made a whole career of it.
Wow, he's just not that into me.
No, the movie was stupid.
Yeah, sadly, which this episode was not. But point being, Burger is with the friends. He is making them laugh. They're like, Burger's the best. Marry this one. He's dope. And then
lock this shit down.
And they're mad happy. And then he's like, Carrie, you don't have to say anything, but I love you. And she's like, I love you too. And they make out and they're adorable. And he gives her his book. And Carrie's like, I love the book. It's so good. Oh my God. Ma. And then she playfully, because they have a jovial, playful relationship.
Oh, clearly.
Of eating name-themed foods and wiping food off of each other, and
to wipe food off each other,
just joking around, driving motorcycles badly, then she's like, "It was such a good book. I love it. Except your main character is wearing a scrunchie. No woman in Manhattan would do that," and he does not find that funny.
Yeah. And also, something about, clearly, what can I do? Just tell all the publishers, like, bring all the books back, rewrite this shit right now.
Right, but the whole conflict is that she brought up this one little thing.
Mm-hmm. Thinking it was going to be a joke.
Yeah, and he cannot let it go. He's just like, I should head home early. And she's like, it's a scrunchie. It's okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that he kind of like had her solidify the premise as well when they run into that country bumpkin lady that's wearing the scrunchie.
Dude, he was playing with fire the minute he decided to do that. Minute he's like, let's bring in this stranger and assume it'll work out in my favor.
Yep. And then she's like, see? But right? I didn't want to say see.
That's never a good thing. That's never a good idea to be turn to the stranger and be like, see, don't you get it? Take part in my argument. It was a bad movie, right? And stranger's like, I directed that movie. I love it. And you're like, oh.
Well, I mean, you
shit.
You could probably do maybe a recut or something like that.
You
like,
just take it back, you know, Hollywood does that, right?
Yeah, right. You could reboot your own movie 2 months after, right?
It's just limited release right now. Yeah. But that's the thing, is he blows up on this thing, mm-hmm. and he can't handle it, and then Carrie finds out in the end he's not crazy. It's just a sore subject because he's like, my book's a failure and no one's buying it. And she's like, that makes way more sense than you being obsessed with whether or not women wear scrunchies.
Right.
Like, really obsessed in a really scary Quentin Tarantino and feet type way.
He definitely has reason to be concerned because, yeah, if your book's not selling, it's obviously not because of the scrunchy shit. It's definitely like, it's not good.
Yeah, and then your lover who you gave it to, who you just said I love you to, is just like, well, I saw this mistake.
Yeah, I could get that. I understand that totally. But I will say as well, I find it funny where, why would she bring that up even, like, it's all about, like, comes down to this idea of, like, there's being right and there's being nice.
Yeah, right, but I think it's because it all, the entire time, she meant it as, like she noticed it, but she's playing it very jokey and very, like, mm-hmm. of course this doesn't actually matter, but I'm gonna make it seem like it matters. And the entire time she's trying to get back to that, and for him, it is not a joke.
Right.
None of it is funny. He is not on board with the premise.
I've had women and other people in my life do the same thing where, you know, at first you want them to, you know, ingest your art, so to speak, you know, like, watch my comedy thing or watch this, listen to this podcast. And then at first, you know, they give a little bit of feedback and you're like, okay, that's cool. And then at minute 14, you're like, I don't want any more feedback.
Yeah, yeah. Or like I know that people sometimes, comics who I know, will like, make little jabs about like, haha, you tried to kill yourself and all that, mm-hmm. which is great. But there are days where I'm like, ah, it's true. And there are other days where I'm like, let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't find that funny right now. I'm in a pretty dark place currently.
Yeah, don't bring
can
that
we,
up.
Can we just not do that right now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know you that well.
But yeah, so Miranda, she kind of coins the phrase, he's just not into you.
I mean, Berger coins it, but Miranda, like,
she runs.
She
it.
Is like, I am getting this tattooed.
Yeah.
This is in my soul now.
What if Miranda?
Women have all been fools.
What if Miranda was the one that actually wrote the book, the self-help book and everything, and she just does this on the side? Like,
right? I feel like Miranda in this episode, like, she's becoming a modern-day philosopher for mm-hmm. women. Like, she's pulling Socratic seminars where she's just like, well, maybe he's just not that into you. And all these women are like, yes, but I can talk my way out of it. And then at the end, they're like, no, she is the wise one. And she gets like followers and stuff. She's like,
wearing like robes.
She's wearing robes and she's running like college seminars mm-hmm. and she
shaves her head.
Yeah, exactly. She's just a guru going around just spouting the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, yeah, she's just a modern day philosopher. Like,
nah,
she starts making documentaries and stuff, mm-hmm. and people.
And it's just like
she has acolytes following her around. Yeah.
Her
who
name's
are also
not even like Miranda anymore. It's like, you know, yeah, like Guru Rocky or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah. She's the love guru we need, not the shitty one that came out.
It's like Cunnel Mingus or something like that. Like,
I don't know. It's like a modern dating sense of stoicism.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. No,
stoicism.
I like that idea. And then like
stoicism.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. I kept saying it like it would make it better, and it didn't.
No, definitely.
Oh,
I like
wow.
though that she did try to like
Confucius. Confucius.
Yeah.
I got it.
Oh, there you go. That's better.
She's Confucius.
She's Confucius. Yeah.
I'm a follower of Confucius.
Oh, Confucius say, "Go to sleep with smelly vagina, wake up with smelly finger."
That is. Oh, man. That, I don't like the way this went. Good old, I went and saw ice, you know what? I hiked to the top of the Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
To sit with Confucius.
You did? What'd she say?
she said this top did not go with this bottom.
That does sound also, like a Confucius thing.
That probably my husband is tired of me nagging him,
mm-hmm.
which I do.
Mm-hmm.
It was very eye-opening.
It was. That was a theme in this episode as well, where, you know, this idea of do women pick at men?
Oh, yeah, because
that's kind of nagging, right?
Yeah, no, it is. And there were a few themes throughout the episode. That was one of them. And the other one, I think, was the idea of trying to read signs, read these imagined signs without being clear, because Miranda is set free, essentially, in mm-hmm. her mind by no longer having to try and read these nebulous signs, by just knowing and just being open, like, it's okay, we can be adults, which ends up actually ruining a date later. She's with a man, and he's just like, I should call tonight. I'll, you know, see you tomorrow. And she's like, it's okay. You just don't like me that much. It's fine. And he's like, no, I do. And she's like, and she pulls out just the thing all men want to hear from women, which is, be a man. Just say it.
Yeah.
At which point he says, I have diarrhea, because we find out they just ate Indian food. And then, as you do in that scenario, he just turns around and runs away.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. Like, I don't know if I've had a date end like that, but I've definitely had moments where I was like, nah,
I gotta,
don't feel like I'm going to be having sex later.
Oh, I should leave for excuses. Mm-hmm,
definitely. My stomach's going to be not in a good place later.
Yep. Do you think we could stop on the way to your place at the CVS for some Pepto?
Yeah.
Condoms. Condoms.
Yeah, we're going to fill the condoms full of Pepto.
It's this cool new sex thing I found out about.
You never use Pepto for lube?
You should try it. It's great. Just leave me alone in the bathroom for the next 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about
it. I'm preparing for all of that great, comfortable sex we'll be having later.
Oh, amazing sex.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
So, obviously, yeah, so Carrie's doing Burger's thing. Miranda's got her thing with their diarrhea man. And also, she told those ladies on the stoop, like, hey, yo, that guy is not into you. Fucking just
accept it.
Accept it. Bone out. And then obviously those ladies were like, fuck you, bitch.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Because they were also pulling on that. Just like, well, it's really busy and it's really complicated right now. And
could it be both, or is Miranda right?
I mean, you tell me, Daryl, you're the dude.
Well, I will say there are some times where, yeah, if he's, like, being distant and he's not calling you back and he's just kind of not really also setting anything up and he's kind of just like, oh, yeah,
if
maybe.
If you're the one taking all the initiative and none is shared.
Definitely. Then that could be it. But also, he could genuinely be busy. I guess it just depends on, like, what that person is doing. I mean, would you give that same credence to, like, if Leonardo DiCaprio was, like, you know, dating you?
Yeah. No, I'd be like, sorry, Leo. I need to be number one in your life, or you can peace the fuck out. And he'd be like, no, but take my yacht. I love you, April.
I think
you're every man's dream and every woman's dream. You're a sexual icon. And I'd be like, I know. That's why I can't be giving it away to the undeserving.
Right.
Get out of here, DiCaprio.
Phones work both ways, you know.
You can't return my text because you're on set. I see the phone in your pocket. I watch your movies.
I see your stories on Instagram. I know what you're filming. You can't fucking just text me as well. Come on.
Yeah. Pretty, you know, you took me to a restaurant with only one Michelin star the other night. Like, what am I supposed to think?
Yeah.
You don't appreciate what you have before you.
He's gonna...
This hot piece of sharing a studio apartment, Sex in the City podcaster comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kiss that goodbye.
Yeah, he's gonna not know what he's lost until
I walk out of his life. Yeah.
Then
he'll spend the rest of his life trying to win me back. It's very tragic.
He's gonna win another Oscar because of this.
No, he is. Before his inevitable suicide.
He's going to take this emotion and just channel it.
Yep, until it consumes him.
And probably a character with a lot of special needs. Not special, but just like special needs. Like he's got like, you know.
He's got a wheelchair.
No
and
legs or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going
into
Samantha.
The greatest gift I could give him.
Samantha.
Oh, yeah, Samantha is doing a bunch of dirty role-playing.
Yeah, she's got a bunch
of... her, man.
Different, like, costumes Jerry. And Jerry Jared.
Yep, that's so unfortunate.
That's why he later becomes Smith Jared.
Yep, hell yes it is. But they have the most insane fantasy role-play.
In New York City, it is a statistical fact that once every 7 minutes, an unsuspecting woman...
Shut the fuck up!
...dates an actor.
Let me go! My husband will be home any minute!
For Samantha, one of the perks of dating Jerry the actor was getting to stage full-scale fantasy production.
Please, please don't hurt me! I'll do anything, anything!
Just shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up!
Oh, you are really good.
I said shut the fuck up!
No, you shut the fuck up and fuck me before my husband gets home. Now!
Would you do this shit? Like, become a detective and go, like, be a 1930s flapper that's looking for, like, her dead husband and then hook up with him in the bathroom or something?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
I'd like to see that you would do that. I'd like to see your playful side, April.
Yeah.
I feel like the April I know would definitely be like, this is stupid.
Yeah. But I loved all their stuff where she's just like, Mr. Detective, like, oh, Secret Agent Smith, but if you're here, who's protecting the president?
Yeah.
Is it, like, I feel like it's leading its way up to just full-blown scripts. Like, yeah. They're just going to start writing, like, full-spec scripts for pornos where it's just, like,
bomb.
Enter scene right, and it's just like... I know that last time we saw each other, like, they'll take weeks for them to get through mm-hmm. one role play of just, like, I used to not believe in love, but now, at least I know since my wife's death that I can feel something again. But I must go back to the sea. My livelihood depends on it.
She's, like, getting, like, Tom Clancy to ghostwrite. She's like, oh, just so you know, he's on spec. He's just writing a couple of scripts for me. It's no big deal.
I have some specific scenes that I want played out, but, you know, really just it's up to your imagination,
Tom.
You
know, just a little bit of espionage, a little bit of, you know, whodunit. Maybe we can get into some, like, transgender.
Some gender play, you know, some water play, some rape play.
Some waterboarding play. It's fine.
It's a theme. I'm working on a theme.
Yeah. And just, you know, give it some realism, too.
Right. I like that idea that, like, she starts out doing it all herself, but then it becomes a full-time job.
Yeah.
And that's when she needs to, like, farm it out. She's just like, yeah. I really wasn't showing up to work much anymore,
right.
But I'm trying to get this scene right. You know, it's not there yet. Does the penis go in the vagina first or the mouth? What would the characters do?
And I like that one idea of the tax man, like, scenario.
Yeah, that it was a tax man. She's like, it's just like, you can't pay your taxes.
You have $300,000 in back taxes.
She's like, what are you going to do? It's like, it's not what I'm going to do. It's what the federal government's going to do.
They're going to set up a payment plan, and it's going to be a monthly bill.
Can we see that scene?
Yeah.
Oh, what are the results, Mr. Taxman Smith?
I'm going to have to say, you owe a lot of money.
Oh, but I don't have it. What are you going to do? Take the shirt off my back?
Actually, yes. Because that you can deduct.
Oh, and what else are you going to do?
I'm going to deduct all of your lingerie, too.
Oh, we're supposed to make it not sexy, you fucking idiot.
Oh, well, that wasn't supposed to be sexy. That was, creepy.
Okay, we're going to do it the opposite way. This will work if we do it the opposite way. You're Samantha now.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Taxman. What are the results?
Well, Ms. Jones, it looks like you owe $300,000 in back taxes to the federal government.
Oh, what are we gonna do about that?
Well, I'm gonna have to tell my supervisor, and we can set up a payment plan for you.
What if I just unbutton just one of these naughty buttons?
That's... more undressed you get, the more I'm gonna have to walk out of this room, because this is not appropriate for government interaction.
Are you saying you're gonna get multiple guys involved in this?
Yes.
Because I could take two guys at once if you need it.
You're gonna need to in a court of law.
Are you saying you want me to fuck a judge as well?
I am not saying that, for the record. In case transcripts come up, you cannot say that I said that. I would not ever stand for prostitution. I'm an honest man. I have a wife and children.
No, I understand this is for free. Wink, wink.
Did you not just hear me say I'm a happily married man?
So you want to get your wife involved in this too?
Ms. Jones, you'll be getting a letter in the mail in the next 1 to 2 weeks. You'll have court summons.
And dick pics?
Good day. Yeah, that didn't really work either. Cutting all of that. We're going back to the original, like, 30 seconds. Oh, dear Lord. Just tried harder and harder, and it got worse and worse.
No, it didn't. I liked it.
Of course you did, dear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Samantha's definitely playing some weird Taxman scenarios. Definitely some Jack Ryan, fan fiction.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was ridiculous. It was amazing, though. Like, Michael Crichton level shit going on.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely...
like, you're Jeff Goldblum, and you're turning into the Fly, but it's sexy.
And I'm Gina Davis. And I don't want you to turn into a fly, but I'm also turned on by you.
Yeah, and I'm gonna cure it with orgasms. Nature's best medicine.
The only way you don't turn into a fly is if you have a constant regimen of sex.
That's literally the level they were doing, though. It was amazing. And then they took it out into... they were all doing it in the apartment. And then they took it out into public.
Mm-hmm.
Which she was wearing an outfit, which we will get to during fashion, because that was a hell of a fucking outfit.
I like the waiter or the bartender. Like, he's just seeing this role playing going on, and he's just like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, he's just like, ugh, whatever. No, whatever. Fucking hate my job.
These people think they're living in the 30s trying to get each other fucking off, and I'm stuck here behind this bar.
Exactly. No, but so they do that,
they're
and then.
Like, here you go.
Can you do the accent if I give you an extra $20? Fucking God. Hello, barkeep. You know what? Keep the 20. It's not fucking worth it. I'm not your whore.
Here's a 22 hey penny skidoo.
You want a bee's knees? I can whip you up one right quick.
Yeah. You want a Bing Crosby? It's just a bunch of sack of oranges hitting your face.
There we go. We got there.
Yeah.
You look like someone who wants balls in your face.
Don't you want those? They don't leave a bruise.
And if he's like any bartenders that I know, he was definitely maybe going the other way because he was probably drunk and kind of high.
Yeah.
And so they came in and he's probably just in the back just like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, man. The feds are... oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. And they brought a hooker with them. And
yep, she's probably undercover.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Just clean the glass, Jimmy. Just clean the glass. Don't look at them.
And then he gives them the martinis, and they're like, I ordered a seltzer. He's like, oh, shit, man.
He's like, oh, God. Oh, God. It wasn't me. And he just sprints out the back door.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or I like how they are going like, how much do I owe you, Jimmy? Is it only a dollar? And he's like, just cash your charge, man. Just
yeah. Or I like Samantha taking it to the next level. Like, she just becomes convinced that she can barter sex for goods. Like, she's like, oh, I don't have the money. What are you going to do? And you're like, she's like, you could do anything you want to me to pay off this debt. He's like, actually, the register needs to come out to a certain amount at the end of the night. I have two strikes. I can't really take another. I need this job.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to have to get the police involved.
She just goes to, like, the farmer's market, and she picks up, like, a roasted chicken and just flashes a tit. And she's like, there you go. And they're like, what? And she's just like, was a transaction.
Do you need to see my badge, too? That's fine.
It's organic. They always charge you out the ass for that. Do you need the ass, too?
These prices are going up.
Exactly. That's... I like that alternate universe where Samantha just becomes convinced.
I like that barter system.
You'd be a very poor man, Daryl.
Mm, yeah. People would be like, I don't... Now it's $5 more.
No. That's going to be an extra 30 now. Just the longer you stand here, the more it goes up, buddy.
You might as well put your shirt back on.
Should probably do that. Stop motorboating yourself. Okay, so final plot line of the episode. Oh, so
Charlotte,
good.
We haven't really talked about.
Yeah, Charlotte and Harry.
Yeah. So they're obviously in Jewish bliss.
Yep, they are just Hasidic all over the place. Charlotte is telling her neighbors she's a Jew now because they need to know, apparently.
Yeah, and then she's making this huge dinner for them.
Yeah,
because it's Shabbos.
Yeah, it's their first Shabbos together. And Charlotte, as Charlotte is like, I need to do it exactly the way. And so she's going to the Jewish market and yelling at the man behind the counter, like, I said lean and all that. And she's really getting into, of all the people getting into character in this episode, I think she commits the most. But so they have this wonderful dinner, and Harry's like, I love you. And she's like, I love you too. You're such a blessing to me. And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And earlier, the girls had been talking to her, and she is already planning the wedding for the marriage that she has not been proposed to for yet.
Nope.
Why is the TV on?
It's on mute.
Mute? Mute? We're having Shabbos dinner.
It's a big game, honey.
Turn it off. I want you to turn it off right this minute.
But it's...
Off now.
Let me just watch this one pitch.
I gave up Christ for you, and you can't give up the Mets?
It's going to be a long life if you keep that up. I gave up Christ for you. Take out the trash. I gave up Christ for you. Pick up your socks.
Do you have any idea how hard I worked to prepare this meal for you? I went to Zabar's every day this week. I had to make 30 matzo balls just to get 4 that were the right size and shape. Not to mention the months of studying and cramming like a maniac to convert to Judaism. And what have you done for me? Set the date! Set the date!
What are you talking about?
You said you couldn't marry me unless I was Jewish, and now I'm Jewish! Set the date!
You're acting crazy. Do you hear yourself?
Do you know how lucky you are to have me? Do you know how we look? Do you know what people out there think when they see us together? Do you?
Yeah, I know what people are thinking. I just didn't think you were one of them.
Finally, it was Charlotte who was on mute.
I don't need this. I'm leaving. To think I bought a ring.
So, classic Charlotte fashion.
A little cart before the horse.
Yep. Eggs in a basket, all those things, all at once.
What?
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right, yes.
I'm not just making up phrases, you know? Two peaches to a can. Every mouse has its cheese.
I like those phrases.
Well, start using them then, and we can make them into a thing.
Well, you know.
Trademark.
Two April peaches Lotshot. To every can.
Two peaches to a can. It's never enough hats for bad weather.
Yeah, well, always tie your shoelaces.
If you can't knot them, put them in a bow. But anyhow, so she was tired, that she's like, we're getting married, and it's going to be this and that and this. And then she does her big, giant, special Shabbos dinner that she pulled out all the stops for, going crazy Jewish, memorizing words that she says with her eyes covered. And
yeah,
it's all this crazy shit.
I think she knows more Hebrew than Harry now.
I really do as well, because Harry is watching the baseball game secretly on mute behind her the entire time.
It's awesome. And it's also, I think, it is weird how serious he is about being Jewish and other things, and other, obviously, like, things that he's like,
Yeah, he kind of goes back and forth on the Jewish thing.
We can have
thing.
The dinner, but we don't have to do all the fucking praying and all that bullshit, you know?
Right, that sounds like most religious people, though. Also,
we're keeping up the tradition enough, all right?
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't have to do as much, considering he is the living avatar of Jewishness on this earth.
He is very Jewish in, like, the way he speaks, but definitely not in the way he lives his life.
Blueberry matzah!
Yeah.
Never get this again! Oy vey! But anyhow, so Charlotte blows up. She's like, turn off the TV! And he's like, it's an important game. And they have that back and forth where neither one of them is budging. And then she explodes because she's like, I did all this work. Do you know how long this took me? I gave up Jesus for you.
That's right.
Yeah. And he's like, it's going to be a long life together if everything I do wrong or say becomes, take out the trash. I gave up Jesus for you. And then it all comes to a head because she brings up, she's like, set a date for the wedding. Set a date. We're in love. I want to be married again because that worked out so well the first time. And then the real kicker is when she's just like, you know how lucky you are to have me. I'm perfect. I'm amazing. I came to life from a Home and Garden magazine. I'm the best woman ever. When people look at us in the street, they look at me and they get hard, and then they look at you and then they vomit in the gutters. They think, what's happening? How much money does that filthy Jew have? And all that. And he rightfully he's just like, I know what people think when they look at us. I just didn't think you were one of them.
Right.
That one hurt.
I like that idea. Like, there was, like, kind of their first big fight.
Right. And it was a real kicker. Like, that's a potentially, like, is the relationship over type fight.
I think not. I don't know, maybe. But he should have just, like, threw the ring at her and went, like, fuck it.
He's a good Jew. He knows he can take it back.
Yeah, he's definitely like, I'm not
going to return it to the store.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, he obviously bought it from a Jewish, like,
a Jewish Jewish?
A Jewish jewelry.
Jewish jeweler.
I know it's a little redundant.
Jerry. Jerry, the Jewish jeweler.
Yeah, he went there. He's like,
jumped for joy.
He's like, hey, Jerry, you know, I got this girl to turn Jewish for me.
Oh, you got yourself one.
Yes, she's a goyim, but now she's definitely one of us.
Hey, I wouldn't have sold this to you otherwise, but the heart is mysterious.
Where are you from, Jerry?
Atlanta.
I got it. But anyway, I'm just saying, you know, just, oy vey, that's a lot of carrots in that ring right now.
Oh, as many carrots as in my wife's matzo ball soup. She scrimps and saves. What can I say?
I like where you're headed. I'll get it, Jerry. That looks like definitely a ring for my girl Charlotte.
Hey, when you find the one, you know what they say. Two peaches to every can.
Yep. That's exactly what they say. You know what, Jerry? You make a lot of sense.
In Atlanta. But anyhow, he has the ring.
Yeah, he has the ring.
And how did you feel for Harry in this scene? What did you think of that entire interaction?
I feel like, obviously, he had a plan. It's not like he wasn't going to marry her. But yeah, maybe he could have had a little bit of a talk with her, or maybe done it sooner. But also, she could have been clearly like, yo, we didn't have to get to this level.
Yeah, because they had an inciting incident, which was the baseball, and him kind of not
but also, I think
appreciating
it's,
what she'd done.
I think also she didn't get weirded out or like she didn't like press the issue until like Miranda and Carrie were like, you gonna do this before this? I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Like they kind of put stuff in her head. And maybe they were not wrong, but still, like, it's like, yo, just, he'll do it when he does
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, calm down a little bit, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But or then maybe that, just, it put some, like, I think it put some doubt into her heart.
For sure.
And also, she did a big grand gesture for him with this, and I think that was one of those, like, she's expecting a grand gesture in return.
Yeah, well, like, she's, like, trying to be this perfect Jew, and now he's not being the perfect Jew, and it's like, hey, wait a minute. I changed to be this perfect Jew, and now you're not, like, holding up your end.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the deal?
But what'd you think of the whole, like, do you know what people think when they look at us thing?
I think she's very much into her own shit. Like, nobody cares, really. Like, who's really, like, going, like, you know, Charlotte and Harry are amazing, but I do not like that they're not married yet.
No, but that's not that part of it, but the whole, like, how did this loser end up with that hot chick
I don't know about that either, because I feel like he's not that horrible.
And no, but that's clearly what she was implying when she said that, though, is just definitely, like, when they look at us, I'm the hot one, and they're like, how did he manage to get her? You're lucky to have me.
I agree.
I could have anyone
else. She's definitely
else,
hot, and she's definitely possibly a little out of his league, but I think that's what makes women amazing and can look past, like, certain things that men can. Like, obviously, Harry's like, oh, yeah, she's just fucking gorgeous, and she's, like, the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And now she's actually, like, into me, too. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But she's definitely like, yeah, you're not the hottest guy I've been with. I've been with way hotter guys. But you got something that looks like it goes beyond looks.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say from my side, like, that was my opinion of that whole scene was, I thought that was an important scene for their relationship, because clearly, like, she is aware of these things and does think these things, and I think that that was a very ugly moment for Charlotte to kind of go to that place and to bring it there, and that is totally
she
a thing of just, like,
frustrated, for sure.
Yeah, but also just, like, that's such a hurtful thing to say to someone who you care about.
Definitely.
Like, I think that she got, like, pushed to her edge, and she got real ugly about it in the end. Like, she was hitting below the belt.
It's like all those times where you're telling me, like, Daryl, I'm fucking way hotter than you. You're never gonna be anything without me.
He forgot that I'm also funnier.
Mm-hmm. That too. And then I'm just like, I got you a ring. It was like a cool decoder ring that only friends wear. Sorry now.
And I'm like, Daryl, get out of the apartment. I'm having sex.
Yep. It was weird.
The whole, it's roommates.
It was,
you know,
her loss. She didn't get a ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, there
which
was
is all she wanted.
Right. So let's get into the fashion.
Yes, fashion.
Okay, so right out of the gate, I saw, Carrie had a cool Mickey Mouse shirt on for a little bit during the beginning.
Yep, I liked her outfit where it was like a little bit kind of safari, but it was all in white. She had that puffy, vest on top, and then these big, weird shorts that were just wide, and it made her legs look like little twigs, and then best of all, she had on white tights that had black spots on the knees, like the elbow patches that professors have because they are on their elbows too much and they've worn them out. Which so presumes weird. She gives a lot of head, and she spends a lot of time on her knees. Yeah. They wore out. She needed to patch them up real quick.
Or she just was wearing knee pads.
It's her version. That's her, you know, professor's patch on the elbows. It's just the knees, which I would expect from Samantha, right. But not so much from Carrie.
Like, the top says, like, crikey, but the, like, you know, bottom says, like, I'm ready for business.
Right? Exactly. Crikey.
Crikey, this Shayla looks like she gives a lot of head.
Exactly. Okay, so there was that. There was, let's take a minute once again and just revisit Samantha's outfit that she wore to the bar. And
the 30s outfit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like all sequined and stuff.
Right? She was almost naked.
Yeah.
In that dress. It was insane.
It was hot. She definitely had some really cool outfits for her role playing. We did get to see the titties, too, through the ripping of the man's dress shirt.
Yep, like you do. A lot of, I will say, probably the most trench coat heavy episode we've seen far. A lot of different trench coats just all over the place.
A lot of trench coats. Like, she's actually been that character, like, in real life, where she's, like, you know, worn a trench coat and a, like, fedora and, like, sunglasses and then, like, gone, like, peeping or, like, gone spying somewhere. Like,
right?
I gotta go, like, spy on his boyfriend. Better bust out the trench coat and fedora.
She's done that, yeah, and she'll have, like, wigs. Like, yeah. She, like, has, like, a costume closet.
Like, and she does it for real and for sex. Like, it doesn't matter. Right?
It's amazing.
She's like, I like how she probably has, like, sex, like, trench coats and then real trench coats. Like, these aren't for sex. Like, these are just...
You got cum on my good work trench coat.
On my London Fog. What the fuck?
My stalking an ex trench coat. I need that.
This can't be washed out. This has to now be dry cleaned. God.
Exactly.
Okay, so also, I liked Carrie's kind of like trash bag dress.
Oh, yeah, the blue one at the end. It was kind of puffy, but like, and it came in at like a low waist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one, I did like that one. And she had her crazy hat on top of her head. She loves those like pin it in your hair, tiny hat to the side of your head with like peacock feathers.
It's like a loofah or something like that.
Yeah, it has netting, and it has sequins.
Maybe a fake bird. Who knows?
By, like, at a kid's birthday party. Yeah. You know, some glitter glue.
It was made by a clown, for sure.
Yeah, no, I want her to wear one that's just made of a balloon. That's clearly just made of a balloon by a clown, where they just tie it up. They're like, it's a fanciful hat in the shape of a peacock. And she's just like, this is today's fashion.
You know how much I paid? I paid $400 for this.
$400 for that.
It's a balloon.
It's reinflatable.
No, it's just one of those, like, it's all the, like, unblown up balloons. So it's just like the, like, just rubber balloons.
It's just a woven pattern of just the long, limp rubber balloons.
Turn into, like, some sort of, like, weird, like, scrunchie or whatever.
Yep.
I like it.
And then the infamous scrunchie, which I think we have talked about probably enough at this point, but it does deserve a nod in our fashion segment. That's going in the no-no category.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have that? Why don't we have fashion no-nos as part of the fashion segment?
Mm.
That's a fashion no-no.
I don't think we could have those. There were a few fashion no-nos
Have 14 episodes left. Why not change the format again? Always worked for us in the past.
So what was the fashion no-no?
Scrunchy.
Yeah, that was. I also would probably say another fashion no-no would be...
the tights with the knees.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Nah.
Also, the being shirtless but wearing the tie.
Yeah.
Yeah. For Jerry, he was just shirtless, yeah, and he had a tie on, and he was doing fake taxes.
It's like he was almost like they were playing strip poker before or something.
Right? Like he just got off shift at Chippendales. She's like, leave it on. Yeah. He's like, at least let me take the cufflinks off.
She's like, no. I don't think anybody else was wearing anything that crazy.
Yep.
Final thoughts?
This was a fantastic episode. Like, frankly, our guests are missing out by having not been able to take part in this one, and I'm glad because they don't love Sex and the City the way we do, Daryl.
They missed out on a real good one. All those people that said, nah, man, I have a better life. I can't do it this week.
I don't want to spend 3 hours watching and talking about Sex and the City.
Well, you missed out because this one was a good one.
Right? There we go. Okay, so till next week, what episode's that going to be?
This will be Season 6, Episode 5, coming up, guys, probably with a guest.
Hooray!
Till then, peace out.
Deuces.